Hello and welcome to Our City Church. We're so glad that you've tuned in today. We are a brand new church lifting up the name of Jesus in the beautiful city of Santa Paula, California. God has called us here to be a light in this community, sharing the love of Jesus and the goodness of God to all generations. We pray and we believe that today's message will encourage you and produce great fruit in your life. We call you blessed, we call you free, we call you favored. Enjoy today's message.
On your Bibles, Matthew 10:1. And if you have it, go ahead and say amen. It says, Matthew 10:1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Okay? So he's giving you authority. See, in Matthew 28, 18, it's saying that I have all authority. But here he's giving us, his disciples, to have that authority. Okay, so now let's go to Mark 16:9. Mark 16:9. If you have it, go ahead and say amen. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Okay, see, so it doesn't matter where you're at. He can still use you and deliver you and restore you. Amen. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest. So the rest of the people that they have heard the first time, they went and reported to the rest. But they did not believe them either. Do you guys see something wrong here? I don't believe it until I see it. No, but see, okay, let's continue reading verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So they got rebuked by not believing, okay? That's how important you can see that it is to believe. You know, we don't have to wait to see. Actually, blessed are those who believe and have not seen, right? So we haven't literally seen him right here, right now, and we believe. Now, there is people that have not seen or felt, in our case, because we've experienced him in many ways, right? So we just know that we know that we know that he's a real God and that Jesus is alive, right? But some people don't believe it yet. And so here Jesus is rebuking them for not believing. So, and it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, and they will drive out demons and will speak in new tongues. They will pick up a snake in their hands, and they will, when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. Tell me he hasn't given us enough to give out. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Come on. He has given us authority to do a lot of awesome things. But you have to believe. You have to believe. If you don't believe, there's no faith right there. There's just going to be like, well, he probably could, but I don't know if he will. Then you're probably not going to see much, right? You have to believe. He has given you the authority to go. And see, he says to go everywhere on verse 20, the disciples went and preached everywhere. Everywhere. In our lives. Where is that? Everywhere. At your job. At the market. With your friends. With your family. With your neighbors. Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. You can't be like, oh, well, I need to make specific time to go and go share the love of God. No. You should do it everywhere you go. In everything that you do. Because, see, he's not boxed in onto a schedule. He wants to be the Lord of your life and be able to, for others to see that he's real to you. That you can live day by day walking by the hand of God. Just walking with him in everything that you do. Just walking with him to everything that you do. Every part of your day. You don't have to leave him at home. You don't have to leave him at church. He's not in a box. Amen. He has given you authority to go and do it. Take him with you and go share it to others. Amen. Amen. Who will go? And this scripture has always like tugged on my heart. Let's go to Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Sounds like what we should be doing, right? Well, he did it too. So when we follow him, we do it too. Okay. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. Okay? When he said to the disciples, I'm sorry, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Amen. Let me read that again. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Much, much, much harvest. But the workers are few. That sound familiar? And you don't have to even just talk about one church. This is through the body of Christ. All around. So many people out there waiting for someone to go. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So we're supposed to be asking for him to send out workers. But see, we can't just ask God to send other people. It has to be, send me first. Send me. Let me be a worker for your kingdom. And send more with me. Amen. And so this even can we go to the image? I want you to see this little picture that has a little red man. It's bright. It's bright like a target where he's standing, and there he is. Full of God, right there. See that person in the middle? He's on fire for God. He's red. He's like, let's go, let's do it. And there is so many people out there. But see, when you make a disciple, let's say, I'm going to actually have some people come on up. We'll have Myra come on up. We'll have, I'm blanking out. Amanda, come on up. And let's have Miss Ava come on up. And let's have Miss Rebecca come on up. I want you guys to really get this idea, okay? Okay, so go ahead and stand right here. And then you can stand on this side right here. Okay, and let's say I'm on fire for God and God send me. He sends you out to make a disciple, okay? He doesn't tell you to go, hey, Jesus loves you and everything, and then come, and then everybody. Because by the time you get to the last person, the first person's already gone, okay? But if you go make a disciple and you spend the time to have her know who he is, she's going to be strong enough, and then she can go and make a disciple with one, and I will make a disciple with another one. She will spend time with her and just having her really experience God. Amen? And I will go with her, and I will have her also know God, spend the time for her to realize who she is in Christ. And then, now we have four people. Now we get to go with more people. I'm going to go with her. She's going to go with someone else. She's going to go with someone else. She's going to go with someone else. Do you see that? It's not a big command if we're all doing our part. So then she will be ready, and she will make more disciples that will make other disciples. She will be ready. She will make more disciples that will make other disciples, and so will they. It's not as hard anymore, right? You guys may be seated. Thank you for your help. So do you see? He wants us to go and share, but we have to be the first ones to go. You can't just be like, why aren't people coming into the churches? No. It's like, what can I do? At least for one person to come on in. One person that really has been crying out for God that will come in and know who he is. And will be so in love with God that that person will have to go and share it with someone else. Amen. The next slide. Jesus started with 12. Okay, but these 12 actually went, okay? It wasn't just people that walked behind Jesus and just like whenever something was going on. These people went and did, okay? So like my four ladies that came up to help me, they would be people that would go and do, okay? So Jesus had 12. There's more than 12 in this place. If we're all doing, they change the world. Anywhere, everywhere that you go, they've heard of Jesus. And those people, those places that have not heard, people are already running to those places to share what Jesus did for them. Okay? So, Santa Paula, we're here. And maybe you don't even live in Santa Paula, but you have been called to be in Santa Paula to do God's work. Then your focus is not going to be like, oh, it's just the whole town. Well, one, we're believing that God is raising up other believers to go and do the work. Two, so don't focus on that. Just focus on that one person. When you're done with that person will go, and then you focus on the other one. In Matthew 10, 1 through 4, it talks about the disciples who were called. He called 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. And the names are right there so you guys can see. Simon Peter, Andrew. And, you know, when I was studying this, I was just so interested in how they were called. When Jesus went and said, follow me. We have Simon, that his name was changed to Cephas, which is translated in Greek to Peter. So we know him as Simon Peter. And Andrew was his brother. Okay? Those two together. So sometimes you'll work with even family. And that means that when you're around your family, go ahead and spread the word, spread the gospel. Spread the good news, because you can inspire your family member to join and together go and do stuff. We have James and John were brothers, and they went for it. They were one of the 12, those four people. And these were fishers of men. What does your bulletin say on the front cover? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. So, he used these people because he saw the heart. They were ready. They were ready to follow him. And you'll hear it in different parts of the Bible, how it talks about how they were called. Maybe you might hear a little different here and there. Like, for example, I was so interested in how in Matthew, it talks about Matthew as Matthew. And that doesn't make sense right now, because unless you go to the other Gospels, you'll see that he's called Levi. And so I was like, wait, why was he called Levi? And over here is Matthew, but it's the tax collector. Well, one, Jesus called the tax collector, which is someone that was not seen very well by the Pharisees and the people that study the law, you know, the holy rollers. They were not seen as people that would be worthy. A tax collector? No. They steal from people. They're bad people. Okay. Well, Jesus called Levi, which became Matthew, to follow him. And he did it. Okay? So it doesn't matter, like I said, when we're reaching out to everybody, it doesn't matter what job they have. It doesn't matter anything that you see in the outside. Because if God is telling you, go and reach out to this person, he knows that they're ready to follow him. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. You are called to follow Jesus. So you are, all of you guys in here, okay? You don't have to be in church for 10 years in order to be called, okay? When the disciples were called, what did we see? What stands out, okay? So as we were mentioning, we had fishermen, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John. So first let's go to Mark 1:16 through 20. Open your Bibles to Mark 1:16. And we have two scriptures up there because, like I said, they're told by different people. So you get a little bit of a different details from book to book. In Mark 1:16, says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, everybody say at once. Everybody say at once. Say it like you believe it. Everybody say at once.
At once.
Their nets, they left their nets and followed him. At once, they left their nets and followed him. At once, immediately. At once.
At once.
At once. Ernie, follow me. At once. At once. Did you see? Not like, wait, where are we going? No, at once. He just got up. Thank you, Ernie. See? He's ready. How many of you guys are ready?
On.
At once. Follow me. Do we have to preach about this over and over and over again to convince you to come? No. At once. We will follow him. All of us are called to follow him.
Right.
Amen? Let's go to John 1:35. John 1:35. The next day, and this is saying the same story, but like I said, a different perspective. The next day, John was there with two of his disciples. Then he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard this, heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" Okay, so he wasn't like, "Yeah, you know," like it sounded. It almost sounds like not so inviting. Like, "What do you want?" Because it's. Remember, I said at the beginning, it's costly. Come on. Okay. What do you want? They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Okay, there's the curiosity there. Hey, some people are going to come to know him because they're curious. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. So you have to spend time with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So that's, remember I said that Simon Peter and his brother were one of the, they were the disciples. There were two of the disciples. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So he was one of the two. But I want you to focus on verse 41. The first thing, not the second, not when he remembered, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him. That was good news. What do you do with good news? You go and tell people. He went to his brother. Now, I don't know how many people of you guys here have family that don't know Jesus or they think they don't want to know him because they really haven't given it a chance. See, Andrew, when the first thing he did was to go to tell his brother. It was good news. Why would you want to keep it away from your siblings? Why would you want to keep it away from your family or your spouse? We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. See, he didn't just tell him, "You go and you find him." No, he brought him to the Messiah. And this is in the story, that's what happened. But see, that's what we have to do. We have to bring people to the Messiah. We have to grab them by the hand and bring them to him. They will not know if you just kind of tell them, "Oh, you just go straight, turn right, turn left, and then you'll find him. You know, just open the Bible and just you'll find him." Sometimes you have to guide him, take them by the hand, and say, "Look, this book is full of love, full of restoration, full of salvation, and you can see it here. He's directing this to you too. You know, it says here." That's why we encourage you guys to take those classes to get the basics of it, and because you'll understand where it is and where to go. That way when you share, that's you getting informed of what the Word of God says is you taking their hand. Okay? So he went to go get his brother and brought him to Jesus. We have to go get our brother, our sister, cousin, friend, neighbor, coworker, spouse, children, and go and grab them by the hand and take them to Jesus. Amen. Now, those were the fishermen. Okay? Let's look at the tax collector. Matthew 9, 9 through 13. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles there. And then I put the two different scriptures so you guys can read it for yourselves. Mark 2:13 and Luke 5:27 refer to Matthew as Levi, which was the first name. So let's go to Matthew 9:9. Say amen if you have it. As Jesus went From there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Just like that. Got up and followed him. Come on, tax collector. That means there's some important stuff there you can't just leave around. Right? So some important stuff, you're going to have to leave around. Some important stuff, you're just going to have to let it go. Okay? It was a job. He's still supposed to be doing a job and everything. But see, when Jesus comes and tells you, follow me, forget about that. I'm not saying to quit your jobs. Okay? Next thing, we're going to have a bunch of people like filing for unemployment or something. No. This is to see that he left what he needed to leave because Jesus told him, follow me. When Jesus tells you, follow me, it might be money. It might be a specific job and you have to switch to another. It might be family. It might be school. It might be career. It might be many things. But see, in order to be qualified to follow him, you have to do it immediately. You can't be playing around and just, I don't know. See, I wanted to go to school for a specific thing. And, you know, my plans were definitely not his plans. Would that ever change? I don't know if he would put me to do something like that. But unless he says it, I'm not going to do it. Okay? I've been ready with my classes, ready to transfer, but I have not had the peace of God to do it, so I didn't. It's not because having an education is wrong, but it's because your priorities are going to be aligned with his. And he's going to give you the right timing for everything. If he tells you to go, you go. If he tells you to stay, you stay. Right. Amen. Amen. So Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Well, that was the crowd that he was around. So they came and ate. And Jesus was eating there with him, with Matthew. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Okay? They're over here already criticizing because they're looking at the outside. They're not looking at the purpose that God has for them through Jesus. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner." So, he's called all. He's called all. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what title they hold. It doesn't matter. If he's calling them, he's coming. He's trying to reach those people that are broken. He's trying to reach those people that nobody has hope in them. Nobody has even the desire to help them out. But he is the one. See, Jesus is the one that is calling out to them. See, have you seen the people that are so on fire for God? And I mean, they're not just new Christians that they're like all of a sudden on a high of Jesus, but they've been walking with him and they're still on fire and they get crazy. They're not afraid to run around. They're not afraid to lift their hands. They're not afraid to jump. You know why? Because they are thankful. They are thankful because God reached down in the mud where they were. He reached way down where nobody else wanted to look and took them out. And took them out. He took us out from where we were. He took us out from the dirty condition we were in. He took us out and he made us righteous. So you don't have to just reach out to those that look like they can have it all together. No, you reach to whoever he tells you to go to speak to, because he wants to reach out. And it might be you, the one that's going to be used to reach out in the mud to take them out. Don't get scared of getting dirty. Don't get scared of what it's going to look like. Don't get scared of the appearances. You go out and you reach down. Reach down, down, down until he tells them right there. Go ahead and pull. Amen.